Happy Thursday, everyone. It's the Ira Kaufman podcast here on JoeBucksFan.com, the most famous Buccaneers podcast perhaps in history, Ira. I think we're going to go there. And, of course, your podcast, as always, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Right now, Ira, you can lease a brand new 2016 Escalade luxury SUV for $869 a month with zero due sign and drive during our season's best event. And that goes at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Hurry in there today to get your best prices of the year. Visit Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com or EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. And really, of course, all of the fantastic sign and drive offers at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa are on their website. So definitely want to start your car shopping there, Ira. Now, your podcast is here. This is Chiefs week. Bucks 4-5. Kansas City Chiefs. Now, what our esteemed listenership, Ira, doesn't know is that you are Tampa Bay's number one Chiefs expert because you are a Chiefs fan for decades.
That's
and
correct.
You literally know this team inside and out. So you know what? You're a fountain of information here. I'm going to clear the floor. What's the scouting report here on the Chiefs?
All right, let's talk about how this current Bucks pass rush has to pressure Len Dawson. I'm sorry, Steve. I do go back, and growing up in Brooklyn, now, your listeners, our listeners, are going to be fascinated by this anecdote, my man.
I'm sure.
All right. People say, Ira, you must have rooted for all the New York teams, the Knicks and the Rangers and this and that, growing up. And I said, absolutely not. Absolutely. Well, who'd you root for? The Kansas City Chiefs, the San Francisco Giants, and the Philadelphia 76ers. And people would look at me. Are you nuts? Those teams have nothing in common, certainly with Brooklyn. And then it didn't dawn on me till I was about 18 years old. I was walking down the street like I got hit by thunder and a lightning bolt. Those are the exact arch enemies of my brother's favorite teams, my older brother.
You know about sibling rivalry,
Steve. So I ask you, as a legendary sports fan yourself, if I tell you I'm a 76ers fan, this is the 1960s, who did he like?
I'm assuming the Celtics.
Absolutely. If I tell you I'm a Chiefs fan in the AFL days, who did he like?
Raiders?
Absolutely. If I tell you I'm a Giants fan, 1960s, what baseball team did my brother root for?
Well, of course, that would be the Dodgers. So,
let me put a cap on this whole thing.
I'm 3-for-3, Ira.
Throughout the 60s, he kicked my ass. My brother killed me. Except the Chiefs, the last game ever played in the AFL, beat the Raiders. So back to the current Chiefs, my man, and I still do follow them. The good news for Buck fans, pedestrian offense, not very good. Buck offense, better than the Chiefs offense. Alex Smith, mobile, yes. Strong arm, no. Doesn't throw a good downfield ball. Conservative offense, Andy Reid, run the ball, take a couple of shots. The tight end is good. Kelsey, he'll be a challenge for the Bucs safeties, who played well, especially Conte. Thought came off a very good game against Chicago, except for that Hail Mary pass, which was a fluke. Conte played a good game, probably his best game of the year. He may be assigned to Kelsey, one of the better tight ends in football. Jamal Charles, out. Chief offensive line, not very good. Receivers, Macklin didn't even play last week. When he does play, there's no Mike Evans out there to worry about. Bad news for Buck fans. Chiefs win with defense. Opportunistic turnover machines that spurred that big comeback last week in Charlotte. Just when it looked like, Steve, the Panthers were starting to stir. The slumbering Giant. Devastating defeat for Carolina. 17-0 at home up on a team with a pop gun offense.
Crushing.
That can't happen. How did it happen? Interception by Eric Berry. Touchdown. Pick six. Greg Olsen catches the ball in the final minute of a tie game. The ball wrestled out of his hands by Marcus Peters. Sets up a field goal for the Chiefs. Marcus Peters, who's going under the radar just like his football team, one of the premier corners in the NFL. Young player. I expect him to be shadowing Mike Evans, Steve, all over the football field. They have a pass rush. Steve, to me, I'm putting the onus on the Buck tackles, who I don't believe are coming off a very good effort against the Chicago Bears. Damar Dotson's got to get his act together. They got a guy named D. Ford. Steve, He's leading the league in sacks. He's a young player. Disappointing the first couple of years. He was a first-round draft pick. One of those edge rushers, 3-4 edge rushers. And now he's found his stride. Justin Houston, a guy who had about 21 sacks a couple of years ago, he's been hurt. I believe he's going to play on Sunday. So edge pressure is the number one concern for the Bucs in terms of we got to win the ball security because that's how the Chiefs win games.
A lot of good info there, Ira. Let's go back to the Chiefs offense, okay? And so you've got a pop gun offense, as you called it, I believe
it
was.
I call it a pop gun offense. Yeah,
with going back to a phrase from this whatever century that was. And, it's a stale, you know, nothing special conservative offense. You know. Now, we've seen the Bucs we've seen them struggle mightily against
the Rams.
The Raiders.
Yeah,
they've struggled mightily against the Rams, which was not a very good offense. Normally a very conservative offense.
The 49ers jumped out in front of them.
49ers jumped out. Even more recently, obviously Atlanta lit them up. Very different offense. And This past week, Jay Cutler was horrible, and the defense got on him quickly. But how do you think the Bucs adjust to the Chiefs? If you're Mike Smith, what are you doing to adjust to the Chiefs? Obviously, you're not going to be blitzing left and right. I mean, what do you do?
Well, you talk to Buck defenders, Steve, and they're no different than anybody in the NFL. We always hear the same mantra. Got to shut down the run first. Got to make them one-dimensional. Well, the Chiefs have a plodding running attack. Jamaal Charles, when healthy, Steve, is a dynamic running back.
Yeah, different story.
Different story. Out for the year. Really hurts the Chiefs. I think with Jamaal Charles, I think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Without him, I think it's going to be a problem because I don't think they're going to score enough points. But the onus on the Buck defense is, here's the difference. Alex Smith's a guy you want to keep in the pocket against Jay Cutler and Matt Ryan and Derek Carr. You want to get them off their spots.
Right.
So the defensive ends on the Bucks, the Golstons, the Ayers, and Spence, I think they may take wide rushes, Steve. Keep them in the pocket. Make them step up. That's where McCoy comes in with McDonald. And, you know, McDonald made a difference last week, Steve. He's a key presence up front. I don't think this Chief offense is going to keep Mike Smith up at night. But I don't think that doesn't mean they should stay passive, Steve. That hurt them until last week. Mike Smith turned on the switch. I don't want to get into psychology, Isbits, because that's your bailiwick. But they went from passive to aggressive. How do you like that, Steve? Passive-aggressive. And they had a lot of fun out there, as my column pointed out. Played with a lot more energy. They're going to have to do that to quiet down that Arrowhead crowd and take what is deemed to be one of the loudest crowds in the league out of this game. That's going to be probably – that's another layer of difficulty for the Buck offense, besides the fact they're going up against a quality defense, is communication.
Yeah, I think it's a real chess match kind of situation for Mike Smith because you know, he's got a game plan for the game, but he doesn't want to change an aggressive mindset of his defense, which they sort of all the coaches agreed in that mini bye week that they needed to change the approach.
And of course, the Chiefs have not watched the game film, Steve. They're not going to surprise anybody by sending Levante David, Quan Alexander, and Daryl Smith after Mike Smith. So there might have been a little bit of an element of surprise, and it worked very well last week, Steve, against John Fox's crew. But now it's on tape, and we'll see. I mean, there's always a chance that a healthy Ayers can revive the pressure from the front four. That's the ideal situation.
Yeah, and the Bucs showed a lot of good things. The Chiefs, as you said, the Chiefs' offensive line is not a special unit by any stretch of the imagination. The Bucs under Lovie Smith, and really very early this year, but not as well. But under Lovie, they were able to stuff the run extremely well. I mean, certainly the talent is there to stuff the run.
I didn't think the run defense was particularly sharp last week, Steve.
No, it wasn't. Not. It wasn't. There were holes in it, and it was surprising in a lot of ways, but it didn't affect them, and that's water under the bridge.
The Chiefs'
at this
offense,
point.
Steve, they rely on short fields. They remind me a little bit of the Panthers last year, with the exception that Carolina's quarterback was the league MVP. But to me, the key to Carolina's success was that defense that generated all those takeaways. They either scored or they got the short fields for the Panther offense. And that's kind of the tactics that the Chiefs employ. They like to generate those takeaways, and ball protection is going to be critical.
Now, let me throw this at you, Ira. Andy Reid, obviously an amazing job with the Chiefs in 3 years. I mean, stunning.
They're under the radar right now.
Absolutely stunning. Just the overall job he's done. They've lost how many games at Arrowhead, you think, Ira?
I think they've won 10 in a row.
They've won, well, they've only lost four since Andy Reid got there, which is...
It's a buck type record,
yeah,
right?
In reverse. They haven't lost there this year. Extraordinary home field advantage. And do you think that makes the Bucs more aggressive in this game? You think Dirk Cutter just goes for broke to try to shake this game up a little bit?
No, I don't think he does. Because I think that plays into the hands of the Chiefs. Winston's still prone to the pick, Steve. He's done very well in the last month, but he's got about 10 or 11 picks. That's among the league leaders. If they try to hit the long ball, that plays a long-developing play. With Justin Houston in there, Steve, I'm telling you, I'm a little concerned about that Chiefs pass rush, especially seeing the pressure that Chicago generated last week. I've got to tell you, the Bear defensive ends don't have anything on D Ford and Justin Houston coming off the edges. The Chiefs, they have a very varied defensive game plan. I think he'll play it close to the vest. I think Doug Martin is going to get his 22 carries coming off a week where he shook off the rust. Doug Martin's going to play better. Doug Martin's going to look better than he did. I give him a pass last week, Steve.
He deserves a pass.
The key was to give him, let him build his confidence a little bit. I think the feeling is keep it close and try to win it in the fourth quarter. That's what I think the Buck game plan is.
Now, it's Thursday morning, Ira, but we're recording this Wednesday at One Buck Palace. So one of the notes I threw up on JoeBucksFan.com was Doug Martin looked especially spry in practice today. Just that little 30-minute window, really working hard. Just a guy that was exuding, hey, I feel good, I'm back. Whereas maybe before that he was a little tentative. I think there will be a lot of rust off. What I'm worried about here, Ira, very worried about, and then we can move on, is if Joe Hawley isn't back and we're looking at Ben Gottschalk and Caleb Benenach, not only does that limit what Dirk Cutter is going to call, because he's not going to have the whole playbook there, with every check and everything and every run with those two guys, they're not NFL starters necessarily against this Chiefs defense and a 3-4, no less. I think that's really the key to the game. Hawley's got to find a way to get on that field, which he will do. He's that kind of guy. But, man, if he's not out there, I'm going to have my eyes closed a little bit.
If I'm Todd Monken, Steve, my main focus going into Sunday's matchup, very simple. Hold on, I got to fix four words. Avoid 3rd and 9. Avoid 3rd and 9. The Chiefs feast on that.
Right.
Absolutely feast on that. That's when the pass rushers are at their best. And if they can keep teams off balance, the Bucs, and I think they can with Doug Martin. Let's not forget how terrific Doug Martin is when healthy. He was a Pro Bowl back in 2015. He was a Pro Bowl back in 2012, and he's feeling his oats right now. He came back on Monday and or Wednesday into practice, and he looks good out there. So no residual carryover.
Yeah,
that's a good sign.
It's a big boost. Two things, Ira. Obviously, like you mentioned, the tackles, Donovan Smith, Damar Dotson. This is gut check time. They have to step up. Damar Dotson should be embarrassed by what he put on the field last week, especially, and got to step up. Also, I think a little hidden storyline. We saw what Chris Conte playing his old team, the Bears, looked like last week. Andy Reid is the guy who took Bradley McDougald in as an undrafted free agent in 2013. He cut him halfway through the year, and the Shiano Dominic team brought him in here, and now he's going back there as a starting NFL safety. No, he's not an extraordinary safety.
He might be hooked up with Kelsey.
But I think he's the one who's going to be hooked up with Kelsey, and McDougald, fiery kind of guy. I think he's going to be, whatever motivation he has playing against the first team, the only guys who cut him, That's going to be in play. What that means, I don't know, but you never know. Guys come up with these special days when they're going back
and,
to
the
first team.
Let's not finish off the top off this matchup analysis without mentioning a really emerging player for your Buccaneers.
Somebody who I
believe I'm going to be writing about in the next 48 hours. And we thought this guy, you know, was a fluke. It's not going to happen. Cameron Brate is now a legitimate, Steve, end zone, red zone threat. He's a legitimate tight end in this league. Is he Greg Olsen? Is he Jason Witten? Is he Gronkowski? Certainly not. But he's young. He keeps getting better, Steve. He works hard. He's a matchup problem all of a sudden for opposing secondaries. Now, Eric Berry is an elite safety. And he's got an incredible backstory with what he's overcome.
Sure.
With his help. And he played a dynamic game last week against Carolina and made the play of the game with that pick six, turned the whole thing around. He could be matched up against Brate. He's given away height. Steve, Brate went 7 for 7 last week. Yeah, 7 targets, look, 7 catches.
I mean, I personally, I won't say I ever viewed Brate as a fluke or a joke. Just, you know, just saw him for what he was.
Undrafted kid.
Undrafted guy that really had no experience blocking coming into the NFL. And but you know what? He's always caught the ball. You throw him the ball, he catches the ball. He's also one of these guys who gets open. It may not be 5 yards open. He may not be running crossing routes. He doesn't have any breakaway speed or anything like that. He's not going to blow up the seam and go over the top like Austin Seferian Jenkins.
But he knows his way to the end zone, Steven.
But he knows how to get open, and that includes the end zone. He's big enough. He fits the definition of big NFL target. And
Winston believes in him too,
and
Steve.
That's number one. Jameis believes in him. He's got that catch radius. Good football player. And the Bucs are so desperate. If they want to do anything this year, Brate has to continue on this this trail.
Who the heck's talking about ASJ? Nobody. Zero.
No. Well, Jets fans are bitching, but you know that's Jets fans. All right, Ira. Now look, very special. You wrote a column. If anybody hasn't read it yet, it's on JoeBucksFan.com right now. Just scroll down the page. Don't be lazy. You'll see Ira's smiley mug and his Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon advertisement there that he sits perched in. And last night, Ira, not last night, Monday night. Monday night?
No, Tuesday night. It was Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. You were at Florida Sports Hall of Fame.
T. Pepin's Hospitality Center.
Now, you get to go to these posh affairs and rub elbows with the important types and tell us all about it. And we get to live our, through you. We get to live vicariously as Ira Kaufman wannabes. Now, Ira, you were sitting with John Gruden, who was an inductee. And why don't you tell us about the night and what Bucks fans might want to know about your dealings with Mr. Chucky.
Steven, the first thing that our listeners must know is that where there is a way to wangle an invitation into one of these events, when I know that there's going to be a sit-down dinner, especially.
Hold on, let me write down wangle.
Wangle. Okay. W-A-N-G-L-E.
Let's look it up here. Go ahead.
You know, so I sent my email in and told them I was coming. I had to twist a few arms, but I was allowed into the banquet hall where I was invited to table 5, which was right up front, where I stayed for about 7 minutes and then realized where Gruden was sitting. And Mike Tirico, to his credit, came out. I believe he was in New York with Gruden.
Giants game. Yeah.
I think he was there or he was in the studio. And he shows up out of respect for Gruden, longtime broadcast partner, 7 years together. They were quite a pair. Now Gruden's building his rapport with Sean McDonough. Heck of a night. Great star-studded class of 2016. Phil Esposito, founder of the Lightning, of course. Jeremy Foley did such a great job, 25 years, longtime AD at the University of Florida. Johnny Damon, who had 2,700 hits, Steve. I didn't realize that.
How's the hair? Hits. Is the hair looking good?
Hair's looking good.
Mid-season form?
and a USF sailing instructor named Allison Jolly, who won a gold medal in 1988 in Seoul. So, and who's the headliner? Who gets his name up there last? Gail Searins was the MC. And boy, do we miss Gail Sirens on those NBC broadcasts with Bob Height. I know I do. And she was a good friend to the Tribune, Steve, good friend. And Chucky gets last call. Chucky gets his name called last, goes up there, talks for about 7 minutes. Talks about youth sports, Steve. It's a real passion of his right now. He thinks it's being taken away. It's under siege a bit. He said these geniuses who are canceling recesses, these geniuses who are canceling games on the high school level, maybe even junior high, we've got to, quote, rescue youth sports for boys and girls. So it's a real passion for Gruden. His youngest son is a sophomore, I believe, at Carrollwood Day High School. Steve, he's going to be gone in a couple of years. He's the last of the three Gruden boys. When that happens, I think Gruden takes a brand new look at the idea of returning into the NFL. I got the impression last night that it's a real possibility. It's a real possibility. Where's he coming? Buck fans, hold on. Don't go crazy. It's not going to happen in Tampa. I can't see it. Wouldn't that be the Glazers admitting we made a huge mistake, Steve? They're not in the habit of doing that. But it was a heck of a night. And Gruden talked about the early days in Tampa at Bennigan's. He worked at Bennigan's. He lasted 3 weeks. Got in a fight with a customer. Fired. Where did he land next? At an upstart place called Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue, where he turned into, quote, a legendary oyster shucker and beer keg manager. I mean, he was in a heck of a mood. A lot of love towards John Gruden from the Tampa Bay community. And Steve, he still lives here. I think he's always going to make this his permanent
home. Oh, yeah, this is his place, his domain.
And, you know, he got a lot of laughs because he talked about his final year in Tampa, Steve. He talked about 08, and he said there was a game against the Chiefs, and he gets the game ball after the victory.
From the Glazers, from Joel Glazer. Game it was ball, like his 50th win.
Winning is coach in Buck history.
Yeah.
And he says, let me hear it. And everybody applauds. And then he gets back on the mic and says, a few weeks later, we play the Saints. Driving rainstorm, win the game. Game ball, they're saying, you know, John Gruden, third youngest man to ever win 100 games as an NFL head coach. Let me hear it. Again, wild applause. And then Gruden, like a master with the timing, says 4 weeks later, they fired me. So, you know, it still hurts. And he said when he watches Super Bowl tapes, and he does, it, quote, brings tears to my eyes to this day. So, look, he's Tampa through and through, Steve. His family brought him here in 1985. His father was a running back coach. I believe it was Lehman Bennett.
Yeah.
No, I guess it was McCain. He's a Tampa guy through and through. I think he roots for the Bucs. Steve, I asked him, what's your feelings about the Bucs? He shrugged his shoulder. Steve, when you're 4-5, it's what you get. You get a shrug shoulder from John Gruden.
Great stuff, Ira. Great stuff there. So interesting. So you think that...
I think the key was me getting that steak dinner, Steve. You know,
well, it's always key. So is his son's in 10th grade or 11th grade is what you're saying?
I believe it's 10th grade.
10th grade. Okay. So a couple more years. Interesting that your takeaway, hobnobbing with the Gruden faithful.
That would be
10
years away from the NFL sideline, Steve. A lot of people would think that's too long to go. But I think there's going to be a market for John Gruden if he wants there to be.
I don't think so. I mean, there's no evidence that – it's not like Gruden was a washout at his last job. Like, take Lovie Smith, okay? Lovie finished with the Bears, and they were on a tremendous run of poor football, and he got fired. And, you know, yes, he was 10-6 and got fired, but they had been 7-1 and had disappointed the year before. Gruden doesn't have any of that bad taste in his mouth. 9-7 back-to-back seasons. If fans saw that again now, they'd be marching down Himes Avenue.
His overall record, Steve, only two
tremendous.
Only 2 games over 500 with the Bucs.
Right.
But he's got the Vince Lombardi Trophy, and he's got two other division titles,
Steve. Yeah, I mean, overall, big picture, the guy did a very good job. Obviously, did what he came here to do, and obviously his record in Oakland was excellent. Excellent, under not necessarily the easiest working conditions.
You know, Steve, fair to say, open question about his acumen with personnel. That's fair. But
absolutely.
In terms of coaching the personnel that he has, I think he's almost in the elite status.
Well, I know you are Tampa Bay's Hall of Fame voter. That's why you're here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. And I think if I have to look deep inside, Ira, I think that Gruden will coach again because he wants to be remembered. There's no shortage of ego in John Gruden.
He just saw Dungy get in, by the way.
He wants to be in that Hall of Fame. And the only way he can do it is to take one more team and have some strong success. It's the only way he's going to have that opportunity. He knows that. And I think that's what he wants.
Yeah, right now, Steve, his name doesn't come up in the Hall of Fame conversation. It doesn't come up. He's got the one Super Bowl. Dungy only has one. But, you know, Dungy coached for 13 years. And average, you know, 11 wins a year.
Yeah, it's not comparable.
Not comparable right now.
Not comparable.
But if he does go to another team, Steve, and he at least ends up in the conference title game or ends up in a Super Bowl, now you're talking. Now you're absolutely talking.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. All right, we're having fun here. Of course, Ira, your podcast is presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Sometimes, Ira, I just find myself going to edmorescadillacbrandon.com, getting ready for my next vehicle because I just love the Edmore's vehicles so much. I've got three of them in the last 6 years through my family.
And you take them out on Dale Mabry and you go about 88 miles an hour because you want to rev yourself up in preparation for our podcast, Steve. You got to get the passion going.
A couple things, Ari. Your podcast, very easy to find. People are subscribing more and more on iTunes. It's a great way to do it when you subscribe on iTunes. Of course, you just go to the iStore or to iTunes and search podcasts. Type in Bucks or Ira Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N, and there it is. Hit the subscribe button. You get a little alert anytime it appears, so you don't have to think about it. Or, of course, you can listen on JoeBucksFan.com every Tuesday and Thursday. Now, Ira, we were in the Bucks locker room today here at One Buck, and Mike Evans spoke to the media. And
A swarm of media. They lined up, Steve, at his locker before Evans ever got into the locker room.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. Of course, he drew a lot of attention here from media that isn't always around the Buccaneers. And I was, you know, waiting for Andy Reid to talk to him on the conference call, and you were in there. What did you see? What did you hear? And then we'll get into what you think of Mr. Evans' change of heart.
He handled himself very professionally, Steve, especially for a young man. Said he used poor judgment. Steve, he didn't mean to impugn the military. Steve, he said yesterday's statement came from the heart. Steve, the Tuesday statement, he was not coerced in any way by anybody from the organization in making that statement. He would like to put it behind him, Steve. I think he has. His play on the field has been beyond reproach. He's been the Bucs' best player. You and I have said it for weeks now. I don't think anybody can argue that.
So was he today? Was he kind of laughing it off? Was he serious?
He was serious. Somber? He was serious. You know, I wouldn't say overly apologetic, but he wanted to get the point across that he meant no disrespect. And so he reiterated Tuesday's statement that he didn't mean to offend them. That's the last thing that he wanted to do. He's upset with the results of the election. That was his way of showing it. I think in retrospect, he regrets that he went in that direction. Steve, the response from Buck Nation was immediate. You know that. You've seen it on Joe Buck's Fan. It was harsh and immediate. I don't even think the Bucks were prepared for that kind of backlash, Steve. It was very strong.
Yeah, it's a couple of things, Ira. You know, let's put on your take off your reporter hat for a minute. Your instincts. Did somebody get to Mike Evans? Do you think his agent called him and said, look, man, we'll do whatever you want, but this is not what to do, and you're going to lose money long term with this? Was it his family? Maybe somebody in his family said, Mike, don't do it. Was it the Vincent Jackson or the Glazers or somebody inside saying, because we know, let's be real, we know that somebody talked to him from the Bucks to, you know, they didn't just let it go.
Yeah. We rely on our instincts, Steve, and I think our instincts have served us well over the years in this profession. And I'll speak for myself. My instincts say
please do.
That Mike Evans on Monday, and perhaps even Tuesday morning, had long conversations, maybe with several people. There was a financial ramification to what he said.
Sure.
To the Buccaneer organization and to the Mike Evans brand. That's where his agent comes in strongly. Maybe a financial advisor.
Sure.
Maybe family member. Mike Evans was busy on Monday. He wasn't at One Buck Place. That doesn't mean he wasn't busy. He wasn't lifting weights. He's trying to lift his reputation, which took a hit. I'm sure when he left the stadium, Steve, on Sunday evening, even though he spoke and he had already, you know, made his silent protest, he never envisioned this kind of backlash. It's a military town, Steve, conservative town to a degree, although Hillsborough County, I believe, went for Clinton.
It did.
One of the few on the west coast of Florida, maybe the only one on the west coast of Florida. She did not carry Pinellas County.
No, but I think it was only like a point or two in the percentage.
Now,
it wasn't much.
Steve, I'm going to throw this out there. This is my view. You tell me yours. My problem, my issue with what happened on Sunday is that he was a representative of the Tampa Bay Bucks when he made his silent statement. He had the jersey on. He was an employee, Steve, in the workplace. No different than somebody that works at IBM and goes to work and punches in at 9 in the morning. Steve, there are workplace rules that are explicit and implicit that you and I have worked under.
Sure.
In our life. We know what the ground rules are. I think he put the organization in a very bad spot. Maybe even some teammates, maybe some coaches, a general manager, in a tough spot. He didn't mean to do this, but he took away greatly from a resounding Buck victory. But my bigger problem and my bigger issue is it was done in the workplace. And if he wants to put a Hillary sign up on his lawn, to me that's a whole different matter. So I don't think that issue's been raised quite enough. The circumstances that he disrespected the national anthem took place with a Buck uniform on as a representative of the organization. I think that's a fair criticism of what he did.
Yeah, there's so many different ways to look at it. Obviously, it wasn't a good move for his career. I'm just going to reference that end of it because he was in a no-win situation here. This is the pressure that would have been on the organization and on him through vile social media hate that I'm sure he was getting. He's very active on Twitter normally, or reasonably active. Just all the stuff that would surround somebody doing this sort of protest on the field, in the uniform,
the timing, with the military appreciation.
But even forget the timing because he had planned. He told me when I was in front of him, he had planned to do this going forward. He said, I'm going to sit indefinitely. So he really put himself in a spot with the organization. And the organization is the one who signs the paychecks. And they're the ones who might re-up his contract the end of next year when they can. This organization had to decide at the end of this season, Ira, whether they were going to exercise their fifth-year option on him off his rookie contract. And that's an important element here because with this thing looming, maybe the team would have said, well, let's just see you get through year four. Or, you know, you never know.
Especially if his production had taken a downturn.
Right. And so he put a lot of pressure on himself, a lot of pressure on the organization. Not a smart move for him. Now, as far as his right to protest, you know,
Nobody's arguing that in the abstract.
Nobody's arguing that in the abstract. And, of course, you know, these players, I think Mike Evans didn't, you know, you just didn't think it through is really what, when I was reading his statement. Basically, it was a statement of a guy who said, hey, I didn't think this through.
I think that's fair.
You know, I mean, he could, with the money he has, he could, set up his own tailgate, his own anti-Trump tailgate outside of every game, completely appropriate, you know, but and for not a lot of money, and buy people free hot dogs. And, you know, so there's so many things he could do.
This is a tough town to disrespect the flag. Steve. It's a tough one.
I think so, but yeah. I mean, obviously, much tougher than San Francisco and what Colin Kaepernick dealt with in that town, but it wasn't going to be a good move for his career. And I hope, Ira, he becomes a guy who, for his own sake, follows through on whatever he's protesting. You know, whatever he's protesting, let's see him, his offseason step in this. And I think he'll get a lot more respect back from all the fans if he follows through with this.
And Steve, let's not forget to mention, when you don't vote, that cripples you. It hurts your credibility. It hurt Kaepernick. And when it came out that Evans did not exercise his right to vote,
which he talked about,
it hurt
today.
Him.
He acknowledged today that he
said
vote.
He tried. He tried. He ran out of time. But it doesn't help when people find out that, you know, here's your one, you know, prescribed method to have your voice heard, and you didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't help what he was trying to, the message he's trying to send. It always bugs me a little bit, the people who've been saying, well, that's his one shot to make a difference. No. He had weeks to make a difference, getting out there campaigning, donating money. There's a lot of ways to exercise your voice.
Now, Steve, wouldn't he be next in line, or am I missing somebody, for in terms of a core player contract extension? Is Evans next in line for that, Steven?
Well, typically that would happen after a third year. Because the NFL rules say you can't do it. So this is his third season. What we would expect is...
Sometime next summer, perhaps?
Well, I don't know. The Bucs will exercise... Next year's his fourth year, but this offseason they'll exercise his fifth-year option, which they did not do for Doug Martin, as we know very well. And then they have Evans kind of locked up for that fifth year, and then they can start to renegotiate and look for a long-term situation.
But in terms of tenure, Steve, he would be next in line. He's ahead of Winston. He's ahead of Quan Alexander, Steve. He's ahead of Marpet. So when you start going down a line of keepers, core keepers, he's next.
Yeah, you would think, he would be the next guy. I'm thinking out on the fly here, but I would think so. Yeah, he'd be the next guy to get the cash because there's nobody else there. guys like Cameron Brate are going to be coming up on free agency. You got to decide if he plays well. Do we want to give this guy $5 million a year?
Right.
Other smaller guys, but the big money guys, he's
Evans
next.
Is in the elite
he's
class.
Next. Yeah, he's yeah. next for the break the bank contract. All right, Ira.
At this point, I assume you're picking the Bucks to beat the Chiefs here, Steven. I mean, you're finding all these chinks in the Chief armor, Steven.
I've been on a game-by-game basis, I've been wrong a lot this year. Which is painful. Although it's funny because the season's kind of playing out the way I thought it would on a whole.
I did pick them to beat the Falcons. I was very wrong.
I can't pick the Bucks to beat this Chiefs team. I think it will be a game though. I do, especially because of how the Chiefs play their games and where the Bucks' strengths lie. We need to, I just hope it doesn't become a game where Jameis Winston gets the crap beat out of him, because if the Bucks fall behind, they're going to have to throw and the Chiefs are going to tee off. And Jameis, so right now, Ira, I think he's got five fewer sacks than he had all of last year. And he's taken a ton of hits, and obviously, he's seems to be in love with the mad scramble. It's great when it works out, but I guarantee, Ira, that in this building, it wasn't universally celebrated that Jameis dropped back 22 yards off the line of scrimmage to pull off a heroic play.
Todd Monken was asked, Steve, what went through his mind as he zigged and zagged. And you know what Monken's answer was? Safety. That's what went through Monken's. And he spoke for a few guys in the press box, too. Steve, if they lose, and the Vegas odds makers say they will, if the Bucks lose, is it a death blow for 2016, if they're 4-6,
death blow.
I'm in my Darth Vader mode.
I mean, for the playoffs.
What does it mean? What would it mean?
I think it's a death blow because I don't see the Bucks running the table. But the division right now is still in play, so no, there's no death blow this weekend because the division is in play. So no, the Bucks are still alive. Let's see them play well, come home, and actually beat the Seahawks. Another tough situation, but home, maybe home field will start to mean something around here.
Uh, This would give the Bucks a lot of national credibility, Steve, if they win this game.
Victory here puts launches them into the spotlight.
Because they've beaten Carolina, the 49ers, and the Bears since that opening week win,
which was
a very good win.
Make no mistake. They beat the Chiefs. They are a hot and sexy NFL team with a young quarterback.
With Seattle coming to town. Yeah. That's right. So, look, it's a tall order, Steve. Ball protection, I'm going to say it again, critical. That's how the Chiefs win games. They are number one in the league in turnover differential, plus 14. They are number one in the league in takeaways, 22. That's not a fluke, Steve. Andy Reid's teams generally, when you do it year after year, Steve, it's not a fluke.
Let me read you a quote here, Ira. I don't know if you saw it on JoeBucksFan.com, but it plays into what you just said about the turnover ratio. Pretty stunning. Dirk Cutter on his radio show said, quote, "I was thinking we would never see positive territory the rest of the year." And you know what that was from, Ira? That was Cutter admitting that, you know, after four games when we were -9.
That's right.
In the turnover ratio, he thought, man, we're never going to get our heads above water. And that, you know, he said that to himself. And you know what? Now here we are. They're plus one. So they've done a radical turnaround, which
they're doing much better on the defensive side. Yeah. And let's be honest, Steve, James is doing a good job of protecting the ball. He's not throwing a lot of picks.
He's not throwing picks. Two games ago, I can't let James off the hook against Atlanta. He fumbled twice.
He did.
Can't let him off the hook there, but much better with his decision-making. 23-yard backward scramble notwithstanding. But no, he's been throwing the ball better.
And he's on pace for, 33 touchdowns.
Yeah. And he's not working with a legendary core of receivers here. So fun stuff, Ira. All right, final score?
Final score.
From the custodian.
Can I pick the Bucks, Steve?
Can I do it? You're the man.
No, I can't.
I
can't.
Boo.
2010 Chiefs.
2010 Chiefs. All right. It's been the Ira Kaufman Podcast. We'll be back with the podcast on Tuesday. And Ira's columns, of course, you still got more to come. If you didn't read yesterday's, it's on the website right now. Plenty of great stuff from John Gruden. Friday's column will be out tomorrow because
Cameron Brate.
Because tomorrow's Friday. He's working diligently at JoeBucksFan.com World Headquarters on Cameron Brate. And that's about it. We
might be talking about a vibrant 5-5 football team next week, Steve. We might be.
The team you just picked against. Come on. These people are booing you left and right. Hey, and Ira, of course, Monday, we always forget to mention Monday as we see you on the new Spectrum Sports Network.
That's correct.
Formerly Bright House Sports Network. When are you usually on?
They show it Monday nights starting at 6 p.m. at 15 and 45 on the hour. I'm on with my former comrade, Mr. Roy Cummings. But I am proudly representing Joe Bucks Fan.
And we'll see you actually on the Pewter panel this week.
That's correct.
We'll be writing, I'm sure, some of your interesting takes there.
And, Steve, I'll throw this out to our listeners for future reference. I'm already planning my trip to Houston for the Super Bowl. And more importantly, the Hall of Fame meeting, which is the day before the Super Bowl, where I will represent Joe Bucks Fan on the Hall of Fame panel. For the first time, Joe Bucks Fan will have a foothold in the Hall of Fame.
You get to rise and say, Ira Kaufman, JoeBucksFan.com.
Absolutely.
Where's the Danish? All right, Ira. Have a good one. We will see you next week.